Well, praise the Lord. I do count it a great privilege to be in God's house. And I've always counted it a great privilege to be able to preach the Word of God. I have in about 50-some years, 55 or 56 years into the preaching of the Word of God. And I still believe it just like I preached it all these years. And the song said, heaven won't always be a dream. And John the Revelator said, and I, John, saw that holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And heaven is a real place. But hell is also a real place. And some want to talk about heaven and never mention what's going to happen to those that don't accept the Lord. But the whole purpose of preaching the gospel is to prepare hearts to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be ready to go to that place called heaven. We're also glad to see each and every one, brother and sister Ivy, and different ones that are here in the house of the Lord. And we thank you for all the prayers that went up for Sister Rich. We're supposed to be in North Carolina preaching tonight, but God's plan is best. We don't know why we're here other than the fact that Sister Rich was sick and had her in the emergency, I think twice or three times while we were gone. Her blood pressure kept shooting out of the ceiling, and we kept praying for her until I felt like the best thing to do was cancel my revivals in North Carolina and bring her back home to be here close by her home. You always feel better, as a general rule, whenever you're home and you're sick. I don't like to be sick any time, but I certainly don't like to be sick and be away from home. And if you're ever in a foreign country and get sick like I've been, oh, it's a great feeling to get back at home even though you're still sick. And I remember one time Brother Moore went with me to Panama. Boy, he come in very sick. And some preacher called me and said, Brother Rich, you're going to quit making statements like you just made. And I said, what's that? He said, you got my wife saying something that she shouldn't be saying. I said, well, what is she saying? He said, she was real sick the other night, and she got up and said, I'm sicker than a junkyard dog. And said, I heard Brother Rich saying that. So, well, anyhow, it's a terrible thing to be sick. And to be able to be here tonight is a privilege for me, as I turn 79 today and still preaching the Word of God and still able to come and open the Bible and do my best to minister the Word of God. And I'm wondering how you're feeling tonight. Is everybody happy in the Lord? You know, if you're not, you can be happy before you leave here. And we do thank you for, as I said already, that you prayed so much for Sister Rich, and we could be busy, but I felt like it'd be best if I got her back home, and so did the doctors. And this high blood pressure has affected her vision, but she went today, and they told her that they felt like that there wouldn't be no permanent damage from that, so we give God praise for that. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn with me into the book of Judges, the 6th chapter, and then I'll be taking my text from Judges, the 8th chapter. And why don't you stand with me for the reading of the Word, just in case I would happen to preach a long time and you get tired of sitting. Judges chapter 6, begin reading at verse 1. Brother Moore, I do thank you for calling me. And as far as I know, except when I was real sick, I've never turned down an opportunity to preach the Word of God. I've never said no to preaching. Because when I was busy in a business and had everything seemingly at my fingertips, God called me away from all of that to preach His Word. And I'm going to continue as long as I'm able. How many has Judges chapter 6, verse 1? And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till they come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for a multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered in the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And then I turn to chapter 8, verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. The story of Gideon and his conquest of the Midianites is probably one that's familiar with most of us. For 7 years, the Midianites had prevailed against the Israelites, and for 7 years, they had invaded them, destroying their harvest, taking their livestock, stole their sustenance, and left Israel in a state of impoverishment. But you know how I read to this story how the angel of the Lord appeared unto a man named Gideon as he was hiding down by the winepress threshing wheat. And the angel said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That's bravery. Oh, yes. And we know how that Gideon began to make excuses for his inability, saying, I am poor, and I'm the least in my father's house. And I like what the angel said to Gideon. He said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel. What might? The might that knows within itself it cannot accomplish what God wants accomplished. Oh, yes, the might that says we must have God. And the Lord said, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. We know that after many signs given to Gideon, he was finally convinced that God was with him. And the Lord said, When you go, you can say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. He didn't send him out there all by himself on the battlefield. But God said, You can say when you go out into battle, it's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. God was saying, I'm willing to unite with you and cooperate with you, and I'll go with you and help you fight. And one of the first things that Gideon did whenever he took over this position, he tore down the altars and the groves of Baal that was in his father's house. And brothers and sisters, hear the old white-headed preacher tonight. The only way to spiritual victory is with an undivided allegiance to God, the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people will never experience victory because of the oppressing enemy, because they have idols, altars in their hearts, and devotions in their hearts. Only when those are cut down and destroyed will they have victory, for no man can serve two masters. So when Gideon blew the trumpet, and sounded the alarm of war, 32,000 came and aligned themselves with Gideon. And the Lord said, the people that are with thee are too many. Go and proclaim in the ears of the people, whoever's fearful and afraid, go back home. And 22,000 of the 32,000, they must have been yellow-spined men. Anyhow, they went back and walked away, and this left 10,000. And the Lord said, there's still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will try them down there at the water. And those that lap water like a dog, those are the ones I want to use. And 9,700 more was eliminated, and that left only 300 men in Gideon's army. Now hold on, I want to preach to you. You know the story that Gideon divided the men in three companies. Oh yes, and they surrounded the camp of the Amalekites. And Gideon told them, said, when I blow the trumpet, you take lamps and put them in your pitchers. Keep them concealed until you hear the sound of the trumpet. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, break those pitchers and let your light shine out. And when they did, fear filled all of those Midianites' hearts. And the Bible said they turned and fled and turned their swords against one another. And 120,000 of the enemy fell to their death. The battle was on, and these 300 men of Gideon pursued as those that were left fled. And in our text, we find Gideon and his men passing over Jordan. And the Bible says of them, as they pursued the enemy, and this is where I want to preach to you, they were faint, yet pursuing. For just a little while, let me preach to you about that. Faint, yet pursuing. This is a condition of most of the holiness churches that I visit. Thank God they're still in the battle, but because of the fight that's on in this old world. You see, the Christian life is one likened unto a battle. The Christian is a soldier, and we are in the greatest battle of all times. We have an oppressing adversary that is constantly opposing us, who is ruthless and wicked in his vicious aggression. Oh yes, just the care of everyday life and maintaining your position as a holiness Christian is a big job even in this day and hour. For you see, we're in a battle all the time. The devil fights us in the flesh, but he also, the biggest battle is fought right up here in our minds. Oh yes, but I'd like to encourage you and tell you, as the Lord God was with Gideon, and told Gideon, you shall smite the enemy. Our mighty Gideon, Jesus Christ, is in the forefront of this battle, leading the charge, and through him we will win. And I'm glad I'm in the Lord's army. Several years ago when I was pastoring Norman Church, a black church, all black church up in Oklahoma City, called me to come up there and preach what they called a Brotherhood Day. They had a black preacher and a white preacher. I don't guess I need to tell you I was the white one. But anyhow, they had a black preacher and a white preacher. And I got to be honest, that black one just outdid me. That's all there was to it. But anyhow, that choir they had, a beautiful choir there. Can you remember that black church? I think years ago I may have took you up there, took some up there. And when we went in, they had the choir up singing. And they were singing a song that went like this. Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now, for we know in the end we're going to win. Oh, isn't it wonderful to know that in the end we're going to win? Oh, yes, we're going to be winners if we'll be faithful. And in our text we see Gideon and his men on a charge going after the enemy. But Gideon's men were growing faint. They had been in hot pursuit, and now they were pursuing two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and about 15,000 men. And the scripture says of them that they were faint yet pursuing. And this text fits me today because we've been down in Georgia. We're supposed to be in North Carolina. We've been preaching. I didn't miss but one night preaching, even though Sister Rich was sick. Had to take her to the hospital in the middle of the night. One night, I believe 2 o'clock. And had a lot of problems. But I just kept on pursuing. Kept on preaching. Kept on working for the Lord. And I'd like to tell you today, I think this text fits the church in general. Faint, yet pursuing. These people were weary, weak and faint and tired and hungry. Every step they took, Gideon's army was an effort. Mouths were parched, stomachs were empty. Every muscle strained and paining. They were faint, yet they pursued. No one would give up his fight. And even when they come to some of the places such as Succoth and Penuel, Succoth would not give Gideon's men nothing to eat. You remember when he asked for it? They wouldn't give him nothing to eat. So he said, okay, when I come back with a victory, yes, I'm going to take briars and thorns to you. I'm going to whip you with briars and thorns. When it came to Penuel, they too wouldn't give them nothing to eat. And he said, when I come back, I'm going to tear down your tower. You can read in your Bible where he did just what he said. There is not a more beautiful motto than this, no more of an honorable description than Gideon and his army, faint yet pursuing. I believe that is one deserved by many warriors in the army of the Lord today. Every one of us has been called into this great battle. We find ourselves in opposition to almost everything this world stands for. Our adversary tries to oppress us, tries to defeat us, yet we are called to be conquerors and overcomers. And though we grow faint, we must keep on pursuing. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? We must not give up the fight. This church right here, and Brother Moore, our great pastor and great preacher, don't think for a moment that the enemy don't attack him. Don't think he's so busy trying to pull Don Rich down that he don't have time to come by and knock on your door. Oh, yes, he's got time for you too. But let me tell you, the church cannot give up. Now let's look at this 300 men of Gideon. The men composing this army were spatially chosen. They had come to the waters, and God said, separate them from the others. If Gideon had been choosing his own army, perhaps he would have taken all 32,000 of those men that showed up when he blew the trumpet. He might have taken them into battle. But God knew the cowardice and these cowards' hearts, and he was looking for men who possessed peculiar treasures. Listen, you and I, as Christians for this hour, we have been specially chosen by God. Oh, yes, we're in the kingdom for such an hour as this right here. Oh, yes, Gideon's army was a small minority, but they were chosen of God. And hear me today, it seems like the holiness people are in a small minority. You don't believe it? Drive by the casino tonight on your way out. Drive by the other places of entertainment. And you'll see that we're in the minority. Although we do have a fairly good crowd on my right. Pretty scarce over on my left. But anyhow, we are in the minority. But thank God, we've got God on our side, and with God we're more than a match for the enemy, for greater is he that's within us than he that is in the world. These men that Gideon chose were men who knew no fear in the hour of danger, no alarm at the force of their foe. Their adversaries were numbered around 135,000. Against 300, a mismatch. Think of that. 300 against around 135,000. But I read in the book of Leviticus 26 and 8 that God said one could put 1,000 to flight and 10 could put 10,000 to flight. God had made a promise of this. Hear me now. On the basis of these numbers, Gideon's 300 men could have defeated over 300,000 because God was with them. Listen, they may have looked like some motley crew, but the host of Midian was no match for them because they had the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The men composing this army were men who were together and united. Chapter 7 of this same book in verse 21 said, every man stood in his place. They had their place and they knew their place. Every man was in their place and they scattered the host of the enemy. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a mismatch. I'm fighting the world. I'm fighting the flesh. I too have to fight the devil and all the hordes of hell. But it's a mismatch because you see, I'm winning. And God told me in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon the serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. All of the power of the enemy. Why should we surrender? Why should the Holiness Church give up when we've got God on our side? Oh, let me hurry with this message here. I'm living above sin tonight. The flesh is subdued. The devil is behind me. And the strategic plans of the enemy's host has failed. And we're in pursuit tonight. We may be faint at times, yet we are still pursuing. I'm fighting and pursuing the enemy. I do get weary, worn, and tired. And I may feel weak and famished here tonight at 79 years old, but I'm still in the battle and I'm still preaching holiness. Oh, yes, and the Bible said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. I've watched some of you here in this church. I've seen you when the odds seem stacked against you. I've seen the look of a weary, battle-fatigued soldier on your face. But as I looked, I couldn't help but see that though you were faint, you were still pursuing. Hallelujah. The prophet Joel tells us, let the weak say, I am strong. Oh, the apostle Paul's experience was that when he was weak, he said, then I am strong. Our weakness invokes God's divine strength. Oh, yes, I'm going to use a couple big words here. Mike can get them out. Our vulnerability induces God's invincibility. That's me. Brother George Davis used a couple big words one time preaching at the camp meeting out in California. And someone asked him, said, Brother George, you used a couple big words. He said, yeah, I know it. And he said, what do they mean? He said, I don't know. He said, you tell me, but they sounded pretty good in that message, didn't they? Well, I'm not going to do that tonight, but I believe that God's extremity is God's opportunity. And that's what those two big words I just used. Oh, faint yet pursuing. It was said of a celebrated regiment in the Civil War, they prayed as they fought, and they fought as they prayed. They might be wounded, but never conquered. They were ready wherever duty called them, and with an undaunting spirit and with great awareness of mind to encounter harsh hardships, they attempted great enterprises, and they rushed bravely into the battle. We got to be that kind of soldiers. And through all of our struggles of Christian experience, may it be said of us, as was said of Gideon and his army, they were faint, yet pursuing. I wish I wasn't putting you all to sleep here tonight, but maybe you're tireder than I am. But listen, you can put that on my tombstone. When he died, he was faint, yet pursuing. Oh, still trying to win the battle. Still trying to overcome the enemy. Oh, through all of our struggles and Christian experiences, may it be said of every one of us, yes, they were faint, yet still pursuing. Perhaps one of the things that encouraged them and Gideon's army to go on was the victory that had been attained up until this point. They had seen the enemy discomfited and defeated, and now they are motivated by the hopes of complete victory. And we've had victory. How many's ever had a victory in your life? How many's ever thanked God for giving you the victory? Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah. Well, you see, when we have a victory, remember that victory. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And when you're reminded of that victory that God helped you win, God will help you win another. Throughout the battle, Gideon never left their side. And our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, will not leave our side either. Didn't you quote the scripture, "Behold, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world"? How much farther do you want him to go? Right to the end, he'll be there. My Lord, my God, has promised that he would stay with us. And even those at times I feel faint. I preached while Sister Rich was, while we was gone. She was sick a lot, but I still went on ahead and preached. And it's hard to preach under those circumstances. And with that load you're carrying, it's hard to go ahead and preach. But I just went ahead. I was faint, yet I was pursuing. I was trying to win the victory. And God helped us. I preached a revival at Douglas, Georgia. While I was there, every service but one I preached. And the reason I didn't preach that is on Sunday morning, and Sister Rich had to be taken to the hospital that morning. But otherwise, I would have preached it. You know, you've got to be determined that you're not going to be defeated, Brother Steve. And I appreciate your determination. How many years have you been here? 30-something. Well, I'm not tired of his preaching yet, are you? Hallelujah. Great preacher. Does good. I've had people ask me, what kind of preacher is that Steve Moore? I'm glad I can tell him he's a good preacher. And usually has something good for us every time he preaches. Sometimes the very best stumbles once in a while. Oh, yes, we don't always go right over the top. But we still attempt to pursue. And may God bless you tonight. It's my desire when my time comes to leave here. And my day, I don't know when it'll be. But I know it's approaching. We can't stay here forever. And who knows, I may be preaching my last message tonight. If I am, please tell them I was faint, yet I was pursuing. Oh, yes, if my children call you and want to know about this message, tell them I fought a good fight and I kept the faith. How about you? Are you fighting a good fight or are you being defeated in your purpose? Are you running full speed ahead? Or are you slowing down? You know, I see so many people that one time had great testimonies. And some of them thought when they got their Social Security check, it's time to retire from worshiping God and time to retire in the service of the Lord. But there is no discharge in this war. You've got to fight to the very end. You've got to be fighting right to the end. Faint, yet pursuing. Stand with me, please. You get the message tonight? Faint, yet pursuing. That doesn't mean that you're outrunning everybody. It just means you're still in the race. Hallelujah. There'd be a lot of people that'll outrun me and outrun you. Oh, there'll be a lot of servants of the Lord will have greater rewards. But if I can just hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and close that gate, not in front of me, but behind me, I'll be so glad if I can only make it in. Somebody wrote a song, sang it years ago, "I may not be the first one in the kingdom." But I'll be so glad if I can only make it in. Don't give up the fight. Keep on going. Keep on serving God. And with Sister Rich's health now causing us some difficulty, at first I felt like I needed maybe to call because I've got some camp meetings lined up to preach. And then I